You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, welcome into your temporarily weekly podcast for the Indiana Pacers, the Locked On Pacers podcast. It's a bummer we can only do these once a week now, but the last Pacers news that happened was Elijah Stewart getting an Exhibit 10 contract, and that was like a week and a half ago. So not a lot to talk about, so we get to do a lot of fun hypothetical stuff. But thankfully, both me, Tony East, one of your co-hosts, and Adam Friedman on the other line are both here, and we can do this every week. And I'm excited for the spread out just because we'll have more fun topics. Adam, what are you excited about in the offseason?
I'm pretty excited. As about a couple hours ago, Colts reported the training camp, and Andrew Luck showed up in a Pacers t-shirt. That was cool.
I saw that. That was very exciting. Good for him. Also, Locked On Colts needs a host. So if you are a good Colts writer listening to this, let us know on the internet.
Yeah, it sounded like Dave was getting somebody for that, but I don't know. He sent an email. It sounded like he was going to fill all the slots, but I don't know what he was thinking with that. But anyways, it just makes me excited. It's good to see Andrew Luck coming back to full strength, and it's exciting he's wearing a Pacers stuff because it shows that he has some connection or pride to the city, and he hasn't been sort of turned away. He hasn't played in almost 2 years, and so there's sort of that thought that maybe he's like sick of Indianapolis, but obviously he's not.
Yeah, that's something. That's certainly interesting. I think the Colts season will be – I think expectations for the Colts are a little high based on my tiny bit of football evaluation, but you know
what? 6-8 wins is probably where they're at.
That number.
I think 8-8 is the right number, depending on – I think the thing with football, though, is there's always three or four games that are decided by one touchdown, and if those can easily go your way for the Colts, his first 3 years, they went his way every time. So, yeah. You know, and end up 10-6 in the playoffs. I mean, that's – you never know. That's always a possibility.
So basketball is a sport that we talk about here.
Yeah, let's not talk – I know your football knowledge is limited, as you just said. So I know about the Colts all day, but
the Kawhi Leonard to Toronto trade – inspired some people to ask us to discuss the Kawhi Leonard from Indiana trade, which we talked about it a while ago. I don't remember when we talked about it. I forget what the context was, but we've only done it once, and I think a little more focus could be fun, especially now that he's not on the Spurs anymore. So that was in 2011, the 2011 draft. George Hill played here for 5 years after that and was the starter for four of those years and was pretty good. Kawhi was an unproven guy who turned into a superstar. So
was
it
he
was
a starter all 5 years?
No. That first year was DC. Remember, he like supplanted him at the end of the year.
I think you have that wrong.
2011-12. Yeah, 2011-12. George Hill only started 9 games, so I know he wasn't all five. I'm pretty sure it was someone else that year.
I thought for sure they traded
for George Hill in that first year for almost the whole year, and then he got him at the end. George Hill at the end of the year. I thought I knew that, and I was right, so I'm happy.
Okay. I thought George was the starting point guard all his time. That's what they traded
for. It wouldn't be talking about George Hill if we didn't complain about how everyone thinks he's a shooting guard, even though he's not, right?
Yeah, I guess he might have played a little shooting guard. I don't know how many minutes he had. Look that up. But
that was the laziest analysis ever. Oh, George Hill can shoot, so he should be a shooting guard.
Like, yeah, he played about half his minutes, 41%. That's 40%.
Yeah, that first year he did. Yeah.
First year. So then it's all in the 90s in point guard. I mean, it's 95, 96. Then that PG year, he was hurt. There was a little bit of shooting guard.
But he was really good that year, too. He scored like 16 points a game that season, I think, something like that.
He was the best. I mean, him and Roy Hibbert were the best two players on that team, and he was probably the best one.
That team was hilarious. Just like that.
They were like okay too. They could have made the playoffs. They easily could have made the playoffs. They won that last game against Memphis. They would have. Yeah,
that was a wild season. I don't think they wanted to make the playoffs, honestly.
Yeah, because PG got hurt that last game, so there wasn't this like. There was a thought that they got in the playoffs. PG gets like is healthier. They could like have a shot, but I think they'd rather PG got like. I think he hurt his calf or something like that. Right, the last game, so it was good. They didn't make the playoffs. They had to force him to play or anything like that. He was able to have a full offseason, because then he came back after the next year and was perfect.
It worked out well, and I kind of like the reasoning of holding out Gordon Hayward for the same reasons this year. But anyway, the trade. You know, how you evaluate the end product of this trade really depends on how you evaluate all trades, because, you know, you can look at the value at the time of the trade and say, the Pacers traded this guy they drafted who's never played before. You know, no one knew he'd be even close to as good as he is for a a proven starting point guard. He started 43 games for the Spurs 2 seasons before the trade, who was already a pretty good defender and from Indy. So the thought process was sound at the time, but it turned out awful. So if you're a revisionist guy who likes to look back on trades at the end, then yeah, they clearly lost it. But if you do it at the value at the time of the deal, then they did a pretty good job. So it's just it's a psych thing.
Yeah. So at the time of the deal, they basically traded the 15th overall pick for a point guard who was on an expiring contract, who was probably going to, at the time, $8 million a year was a lot. What did he get? And he got 5 years, 40 at the time, which the time of that is that's a lot of the cap was only $54 million. So that's a good chunk of change. You get $8 million of it. That's like, that's quality, like a quality level point guard. Like at the time, Mike Conley signed the same deal, and so did Jeff Teague, all around the same time. So that was a pretty high contract for a guy who probably hadn't, like you said, hadn't really played a full season as a starter. But it made sense because Pacers had Danny Granger at the time. They had Paul George. They had Roy Hibbert. They had David West. They just signed David West that often. They were basically a point guard and a small or power forward from locking in their starting five. And Adam George Hill locked them in to basically making 2 Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, he was. And I think he was underrated in his time here. I thought he was better than Jeff Teague when they made that trade. I didn't like that very much. Not that Jeff Teague's bad. I just think George Hill's better, especially for what the Pacers were at the time. But yeah, George Hill's a good basketball player. Like, really good, a scrappy on-ball defender for a point guard. If he wasn't so short, he'd be, you know, a good wing defender too. He can really shoot. He's a good catch-and-shoot guy. A lot of that came after here, so that's a kind of revisionist also. But he was always pretty good, you know, 37% three-point shooter, I think. This time here, 38, actually.
His last year was really good, too. He was, like, shooting ridiculous corners.
Yeah. And so a lot of the complaints about him were that he wasn't a good initiator of the offense, but that was all PG and, like you said, Danny Granger. So his role, he was really good at his role. It's just his role is not the guy that gets fans excited and into seats.
Well, and we talked about it. If Danny Granger doesn't get hurt, the Pacers might have won, or at least been in the NBA Finals one of those years.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah. Because, he was a 25-point game score. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you put that with PG, who basically has just to play defense then, and you have a go-to score. Plus, you've got Roy Hibbert, who was the best center at the time in the league, or maybe number two behind Gasol. I mean, you're looking at a team that has – I mean, I think that 13-14, and they had a 9-deep team, that was without Granger. That's when they traded Granger for Evan Turner. But it's the same kind of concept where it made sense at the time. It really did. But then if you look at Kawhi as a piece that basically he won San Antonio championship, then he kind of gets a little screwy.
Yeah, well, he's – you know, I thought he was going to win MVP before last year, before he got hurt. He's that level of player. I don't know if he'll continue to be that good of a player in Toronto, but that's a moot point for this discussion. He just completely blew everybody away. I think Tim Duncan and Pop were the perfect guys for him just because he's in that quiet demeanor standpoint. That just being in San Antonio worked out really well for him. Who knows how good he would have ended up in Indiana, but it's certainly interesting to look back and see how that turned out for him.
It's also one of the huge reasons you don't trade your draft pick on draft night.
Yeah, gosh.
I mean, look back at what Denver traded Donovan Mitchell 2 years ago. So you just don't do it.
Last guy that the Pacers traded on draft night was Caris LeVert. It looks like he's going to be okay. I mean, the Thad Young is a great return there, so that's okay. But, I mean, Caris is a good player.
Yeah, well, plus Kawhi had fallen in the draft. I think there were some players that he'd be like a top five pick going into the draft. And maybe even a couple weeks before, then he just kind of fell. And as a kind of player you want at 15. You don't want to – he's what happened to Michael Porter. It happened with Granger. I mean, you don't want to trade that guy.
Right.
Especially – I don't know how high he was on the board. You understand the trade, but if you think about it, if Kawhi turned into the player that he became in San Antonio with Paul George, you have the best duo in the NBA.
Best team in the NBA.
You would have won one championship in the last 5 years. I mean – I find it harder. They would have – maybe LeBron could have held on with Chris Bosh, but then there was D-Wade fell off. And they were so close to beating the Heat twice that Kawhi in those games completely makes the difference easily.
Yeah, and then maybe Orlando Johnson becomes the point guard of the future in Indiana.
Well, you could have figured out – because George Hill would have been a free agent the next year, so you could have still gone after him. I mean, there was a way you could have got a point guard.
Make an Orlando Johnson reference.
Right, DC probably still be on the team. Honestly, it would have been Darren.
Yeah, you know, who did they got? DJ Augustine, right? He was okay too.
Yeah, Augustine backed up Hill for a lot of two seasons. But you know, you get mad at Larry Bird for that trade, but I just don't know how mad you can really get because it made all the sense. It's just that when you that Kawhi developed where he did, but I'm not sure Kawhi would have developed here anyways the way he did, just because he developed in that in the Spurs system and he had the opportunity to play with a legend in Tim Duncan, which he wouldn't have had in Indiana. And honestly, if Granger stays healthy, it's a moot point.
Exactly. Yeah, it's again, just how you value trades really is how you evaluate, is how you're going to think about this one, which is obvious, but in this, it's the most extreme circumstance. You know, you have to make sure that's known, but it doesn't matter because both of those guys are on different teams now, and it's going to be fascinating to see how Kawhi does in Toronto and how George Hill does on his first crappy team in a long time.
He was on Sacramento 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he only played half a year there. He was the league-leading three-point percentage on that team. So apparently he can thrive on these crappy teams.
Yeah, something unrelated. Remember George Hill in Utah turned down a four-year, $80 million extension because he thought he'd get more in free agency, and then he definitely didn't.
He did not think that one through.
Yeah, he did not. That's
I think he thought the Jazz were going to offer it to him, and then they traded for Rubio, and he just got dumped.
Yeah, he'll still make like $60 million, though, and he'll have made $100 million in his career, so not too bad.
Good for the Indian man flexible. Making the money, but someone fired his agent for that. That was not a good call.
Yeah, but not bad for getting brought up at high school.
No, great for him. That's exciting, and he kept that high school afloat. So let's talk Lance.
Yeah, speaking of fellow George Hill or guys who played with George Hill who probably pissed him off.
Also, I just went on a Lakers podcast to talk about Lance. I don't know how long until that's on, but
Locked On Lakers or some other one?
No, a different one.
Okay. But, so don't promote it here then. This is the only Locked On Podcast Network podcast.
That's why I said a Lakers podcast. but Lance is in LA, I think, or Vegas or something. I don't know. Somewhere where Scott Agnes could find him. And
by phone, honestly.
No, he found him. He was with him.
Okay, he did. Yeah.
Got a picture sitting next to him and everything. And it was very interesting to see some of the quotes, you know, Lance being very surprised that they turned down his option was interesting. And I think the most baffling thing is, you know, we didn't know what the offer was, but we learned in this article that the Pacers also offered the full room exception to Lance. So he chose with equal money in years LA over Indiana, which I guess the emotion of turning down the team option made him want to do that. But I can't blame him at all for picking the LeBron thing if the money is the same.
Well, it's not because he has to pay like 10% in tax.
Oh, well, whatever. I don't get why people care about that.
Because that's $400,000 more.
But I don't think agents and stuff think about that. They just don't.
Oh, I don't know about that one. I think people think about
LA,
it all the time.
Where he can be marketed, I think he can make up $400,000.
I don't know if he really can in LA. I guess no, he's from New York. I don't know. He's not like that big of a star in it. That could easily flame out.
The Lakers team are gonna be stars this year.
Maybe if they don't, they're gonna be under a lot of pressure and they don't deliver.
Some dude who name I can't pronounce who went to Kansas last year is like on my Twitter feed every day because he's a really good shooter and he's gonna be on the Lakers and maybe he'll be a good player. But this guy's name is Sviatoslav. I can't even say. I'm not even gonna try.
Okay.
So if he's getting marketed, Lance can get marketed. Not to take anything away from that guy because he was good in summer league when I watched him, but Lance will be fine.
I know, and we talk about this. There's probably a 10% chance he comes back to the Pacers anyways midseason.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. When that team hates each other in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and LeBron doesn't really do a great job of keeping his teammates check, but their egos in check.
The interesting part to me was that, you know, he said he was just so shocked that it was happening. And, it came out of completely left field for him. And then Agnes asked him if he thought he would stay in Indy, and he just – I think he was just shocked to be a free agent again. It's his fifth team in 7 years, but he was upset. So it seems like I can't tell if he thought he was going to stay just because he thought he was going to stay or because they communicated to him that they were going to keep him. But it's interesting to see what his thoughts are.
You know, something about the front office too, because CJ Miles had the same issue where it doesn't seem to be a ton of loyalty with the front office and the players.
Well,
it's good level because Paul George complained about it. I think Paul George is complaining because he's trying to spin his own narrative that he was the good guy and all thing. But there seems to be some at least miscommunication between the front office and the players a little bit.
Yeah. But you know, I can't tell what level that is. Who knows what that
but,
is?
But yeah, and honestly, I mean, after what Boston did to Isaiah, I don't think anybody could do anything worse than that. To be honest, so I don't think it's like a terrible, you know, is going to ruin players in the team relationship. But I think there was a little bit of disconnect between what the front office has kind of loftier goals and the players kind of want to return. And there's just, I think there's just some kind of little disconnect there between the two.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know what that level is or how, you know, if that's similar to other teams, just because we're so much more plugged in with this team. But
yeah, plus you can understand why Pritchard got rid of Lance. I mean, we both understand
that. Oh, yeah.
And you replaced him with Evan Turner and a better center that you need. Like, the team got significantly better because they used the money from Lance to get somebody who could help them a lot more. But they needed that backup center. So, I mean, it all made sense. I'm just surprised they re-offered him the deal again.
I'm not shocked they offered him the room mid-level. I think that makes some sense.
I'm trying to remember. Did Lance sign before Tyreek Evans signed?
Yeah. Well, it was announced that Lance was signing before Tyreek.
Okay. Because I think that's... Because I think once they had Tyreek, I'm just not sure why you would re-sign Lance, to be honest.
I think they wanted to do both. I mean, Lance can play three, Tyreek can play three. It's just wings.
Yeah, but then you really need that third center. And I mean, you get some other guy, but Kyle Quinn is I like him as better than any other center they could have gotten, basically, that better than Alex Lane or stuff like that. So
yeah.
The way, I mean, maybe it worked out better for them anyways without him. And honestly, Lance could play 1 year and come back next year. I mean, that's how
it works. In the article. It's in there.
Yeah. So as long as Lance knows the city likes him and stuff like that, and knows he's like loved in the city, can come back whenever he wants, then it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, and it's funny because everything else about Lance is like everyone's saying, like, he came there to play with LeBron, but Agnes asked if he's talked to him since LeBron left the country. Lance said no. He asked if he had his number. He said no. He asked if he talked to George Hill about playing with LeBron. He said no. He asked if he has expectations with LeBron. He said no. So I think it was literally L.A. versus Indiana.
Well, yeah, and I understand that. He wants to play in L.A. He played the Clippers for a little bit, too. I mean, I think he was a little bit spurned, and he got the same offer and money, like you said. And he was like, I'm going to go to L.A. Why not try it out for you?
I think that's exactly what it is.
He can always come back. He always will have ability to come back for the league minimum.
He said he will miss Indiana and the Indiana fans. So.
Yeah. And this time, though, he'll come back and probably get standing ovation. No, last time he was booed.
I can't wait to see the schedule and see when they play the Lakers. It's going to be fascinating.
Yeah, I think he's come back and he's humbled by the whole experience. And he's admitted that. And that's helped the fans embrace him better. It's like we understand. And this time, it didn't seem like it was him leaving us. It seemed like it was a mutual parting of ways, whatever, for the city. So he'll be cheered. For sure, when he comes back.
Yeah. So our last topic today is kind of fun. But before we do it, let's take a small break, and then we'll get right back to it. So the premise of this last discussion is inspired by Nekias Duncan, one of the elite NBA Twitter guys. That was a sarcastic joke. But Nekias is awesome. He's a really nice dude. And he was tweeting hypothetically today. Let's just say that there's going to be an expansion draft in the NBA, okay? So that's happened before. It was like in the 90s, I think. But let's say there's going to be an expansion draft, and each team can only protect three guys, and everyone else goes into the expansion pool of players. Who do the Pacers keep? So, for example, the Hawks, he hypothetically said, would keep Trae Young, Torian Prince, and John Collins. They were three best young assets. But a good team like the Rockets would keep, you know, Harden, CP3, and Clint Capella. So who would you keep if you were the Pacers if you could only keep three guys? I think it's kind of obvious, but his answer wasn't what I would have said. So I want to hear what you said.
Okay, you want me to go first?
I want you to go first.
I think it's Sabonis, Turner, Oladipo.
That is also what I think it is.
Maybe Joseph, but the problem is they don't have Joseph locked up for more than a year anyways.
So Nekias said Oladipo, Turner, and guess the third.
So you're eliminating draft picks right now, right? Current draft picks.
The third one was Aaron Holiday.
Okay. I mean, I was kind of excluding draft picks because, I don't know, you expanded. You wouldn't expand in mid-July. You would have expanded earlier.
You'd expand before the draft, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, that's why this draft picks don't count because what are they – like, it would be different.
Hypothetical right now roster, so we're going with that constraint.
But then, if they expand next year, then maybe you talk about Holiday.
Yeah, well, we're talking about Holiday now because next year is when this is happening. So I don't know if I'd even keep Holiday over Sabonis.
I don't see Holiday play, so it's hard to.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't even think I'd keep him over Sabonis.
I wouldn't now. I haven't seen him play yet. I mean, he's a 23rd pick. He hasn't proven anything. Sabonis has proved he can probably be a starter in this league.
Yeah, I think Oladipo and Turner were too obvious. But
I think there's a chance, though, if you if Cortis had a really good year and had him locked up for 3 or 4 years, you might keep him too.
I'd be curious if they offer him an extension just because he's 27.
Yeah, I mean he's at the right age where
he's the perfect guy for that scenario. He fits with Oladipo really well.
Four years 40 for me perfect.
Adam, What two cities would you want to get an NBA team if there was this expansion?
Okay, so we were talking about this before the podcast. I think one team to watch is for Pacer fans in general, because they probably have somewhat of a foothold in Kentucky, is Louisville. I'm assuming the Pacers have some kind of fan base, maybe in Cincinnati area going to Louisville, because it's the closest team to those cities. I understand it's probably not huge, but there's probably some connection. But if Louisville gets a team that could sort of cut off some of the Pacers fan base, which could hurt the team financially too, and could affect a lot of long-term things if there's a team so close to them.
Yeah, I think that'd be interesting. I think it'd be interesting too, because assuming they're adding two teams, right, they'd probably add one that's for sure going to be in each conference. So it's
No, because they could just move Memphis or Minnesota or New Orleans.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's those three teams all really belong in the East, because they're all east of the Mississippi. So you could add – Vegas is getting one, or Seattle's getting one, right?
Probably that would be for sure one of them, yeah.
It's probably going to Seattle and Vegas would be my guess.
Those two, or St. Louis, I think, would be my three. Where has had one that doesn't right now?
Vancouver's another big
Seattle,
one.
Seattle, Vancouver, and is there another place that's had one that doesn't anymore?
I mean, how far back are we talking?
Oh, man, I don't even know.
I think Pittsburgh had a team.
Like Cincinnati had a team at one point, I know.
Yeah, Cincinnati, but Cincinnati is not big enough anymore to have three sports teams. You know, when you're talking about places that only really – like St. Louis only has one sport.
No, I don't know. Adam, they have a chapter of The Athletic. They must be pretty big.
Well, no, they just have a really passionate Reds. The baseball in Cincinnati is king. I mean,
huge. Yeah,
my dad's from there, and opening day is the biggest thing there. And the Reds were good. They're not good this year, unfortunately. But I mean, it's kind of like the way basketball here. When the Pacers are good, it's huge here. Same thing for Cincinnati. I don't know if basketball's as big there. There's not, but Louisville, there's a pretty big culture of basketball in the state of Kentucky with UK and Louisville University. So
pun not intended, but I just realized it's gonna sound awkward. Let's expand this expansion. Now it's going to be like, I can't even remember when this one was. I only know about it from the Detroit Bad Boys 30 for 30 that they had the expansion draft the one time. But they could protect eight guys when that one happened. So who would your eight be?
Well, and that's realistic, right? Nowadays, it's going to be seven or eight teams.
Same constraints. Don't worry about the draft. The guys on the roster right now, you can protect eight. Go.
Eight? So starting five, right? You would – all five of those, and you would Sabonis, Joseph, and I guess you have to count the rookie, so you go Holiday. And I would think about changing Johnson in for Thad Young.
All right, wow. I would not have done that even close to the same as you. Vic and Miles I keep. Sabonis I keep. Aaron Holiday I keep. So there's four. And then Tyreke Evans I keep. That's five. Darren Collison I keep. That's six. Thad gives me seven, and then I'd probably have to think between the last three, Alize, TJ Leaf, and Bojan. Oh, man. TJ Leaf's out. I'd pick Bojan, but that's hard, you know? Like, that's where it gets to splitting hairs is, I guess Alize's never played an NBA game.
So you're the same as me.
No, you didn't pick Tyreke, did you? You picked Corey
Joe. No, I picked Corey Joe for Tyreke. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's the only difference. So I don't know how this would work in real life, but like, does the team that drafts the guy inherit his contract straight up?
Yeah, I don't know how that would work because of salary cap.
Yeah, it'd be weird. But I think it's pretty straightforward. I think you're right. Starting five, Sabonis, Holiday, and then your pick of Tyreke, McDermott, Corey Joseph.
And the only thing I would say you pick Joseph again is because he could be you can re-sign a long term piece. I'm not sure Tyreke Evans is going to be your long term.
Yeah, and you Joseph know, can play 1-2.
Yeah, and you want the value of, like, I kept a guy who's going to – you don't want to keep a guy and then leave the next year. Like, and that's sort of
– I think we're all going to fall in love with Tyreke this year, though.
Yeah, there's the injury concerns with me. I
agree.
He might not play more than 50 or 60 games, which is not – if he plays 60 games, honestly, that's fine. He's, like I said, he's a bench guard. Not that he has to play every night for him to be really good. But I think we might. I'm just not sure. I'm not sold on completely. We'll just see how he works with Oladipo. He does seem confident, though. His press conference is pretty good.
Yeah, he's averaged why don't they just freaking make games played per season an average on BBRF? He's averaged like 60 games a year for his career, which is a scary low number, but I would hope he could do better than that this year. That'd be awesome. I think we're going to like that dude. He's going to light up the scoreboard.
Yeah, I got one thing for you before we finish up. Do you think if he has a really good year, But I thought of this now. It wasn't anything I thought of before. If he has a really good year, there's some chance where they make their starting five, like Tyreek Oladipo, Turner, Sabonis, and somebody else kind of thing.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Because Tyreek played point guard last year. Oladipo can handle some
He played some it minutes of point guard. Sometimes. That's true.
Well, didn't he end up starting at point guard when Colin got hurt?
No.
He didn't? No. Okay, no. I thought he played a lot of his minutes at point guard.
Yeah, he did. A lot of it was on the bench.
Okay, that makes sense. I thought he ended up playing a lot of starting minutes.
No, they kind of like rifled through 10-day guys at point guard and stuff, and Andrew Harrison randomly started a lot, even though he's about to get cut. He did play a lot of – I guess if you like mix and match, he was with the starters a lot as a point guard too. But, yeah, he could – that's not to say he couldn't be good there. I think he could be good there. Like if there's an injury to Collison or Joseph, I think he'll absolutely get a ton of burn at point guard. And I think he can play the threesome too. He did it for 81% of his minutes in 2016-17, actually, so 2 seasons ago, as you would say. But he's 6'6". You know, he's got wing-ish size, so he can play three positions. So he's even if he gets hurt, that sucks. But if someone else does, he's a good break glass in case of emergency at any spot guy.
Yeah. Plus, we both agree. Maybe we don't both agree, but I think eventually Oladipo's progression is to become a point guard. Of somewhat,
I would hope
some of the time, 30-40% of the time. That's kind of the next step for him.
I would like that very much
because well, first of all, last year he got a ton better not turning over the ball. That was huge for him. That was his biggest issue. And he just now with the speed he has and like the athleticism he's at, he would be a really good point guard because he also, I mean, it felt like at least towards the end, he was averaging games of 18, 7, and 6 every time. I mean, that's what he was going for.
His assist percentage was actually not a career high, which is crazy, but it was very, very close.
Well, for his usage rate, because I know he had
that's the difference is he had the ball in his hands so much more than he had before.
I mean, he had his highest usage rate and had a turnover rate, I think, close to Steph Curry's, which is not. I mean, Steph Curry's a little more turnover prone for a point guard, but that's kind of a good level to be at.
Yeah, exactly. I like that Vic could play point guard on defense as well.
And he's not very selfish either.
No, he's not. No, he is not.
He doesn't. I mean, he seemed like he knew at the end of games he had a score, but like he wasn't like always looking to shoot at every moment. He was sort of looking to find guys at times.
No, and I remember McMillan had that one time where he was like, we got to teach Victor to keep all his options open in the games. And then after that, we literally never heard of that problem ever happening again. I don't remember what game that was.
Well, because maybe that was right before he went on his streak, right, where he just like was constantly closing out games,
killing everybody. Yeah,
I mean that was in that Denver run where he just was destroying people.
Oh my gosh, everything in his path he just eviscerated. That was
a stretch of where he hit the game winner against the Bulls, the Nuggets, and then the Cavs. Those were those 3 games in a row.
Yeah,
it was all at home, and he just destroyed. He was just, I mean, it was incredible. That's when he kind of became a superstar, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it's. I think point guard would be nice for him, but that's a down the road thing. And if Tyreek really works out, I think that duo could make some sense.
Yeah, and I think Tyreek makes sense too because you could get rid of Collison and re-sign Tyreek and Joseph, and you could probably sign Tyreek to a 2 or 3 year deal because he's going to be 29, owing close to 30, so he might not be able to fetch like a 4 year deal, but a 2 or 3 year deal at 12 and get Joseph at 2 or 3 for 10. That could sort of be a nice little trio with Oladipo.
That would. That'd be awesome.
That could kind of be your future at the guard positions, and you could kind of put Holiday in a little bit, and you could figure out kind of the rest.
Hopefully Holiday works out too. We'll have to talk about him in the future.
Yeah, we can do that another time, though.
Next week, I just decided this, so we can preview this for you guys. We're going to talk about contract extensions.
All right.
Hypothetical contract extensions. That could be fun.
Can we do about Nate McMillan's too?
Yeah, we'll do everybody. Yeah, sure, we'll do everybody.
All right, let's do that then.
So thank you all for listening to this episode of Locked On Pacers. I hope we can give you enough in this once a week stuff. Some of you reached out to me on Twitter asking about stuff. Yes, we will try to be creative and fun and supply good content. So do you have anything you're working on, Adam, for the week?
Actually, I didn't do this last week because I got kind of busy towards the end of the week. But I am going to write because we're HIPAA retired. I'm going to write the who are the greatest Pacers centers of all time.
Yes.
I made a little list.
Including the ABA because we have to stipulate that.
I did. I went from year 1968, 69, the first year they just had a team, and I went by each year who was the starting center. I made a list, and now I'm kind of figuring out who had the best run versus – and there's a combination of things of who had the best year actually at center, who was the best center career for the Pacers, all kinds of different little things. Nice. Jermaine O'Neal is probably one of the best centers in history, but he also played power forward for 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
But he played a good chunk of his minutes at center too those years, so there's also that.
That'll be fun. That will be cool.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Hopefully I can get it done sometime this week.
Thank you all for listening to this episode of Locked On Pacers. We'll be back next week for your Pacers kick, and have a great week.